All right, we got Off-Center Archers. Thank you again for whoever's listening. We have episode number 4, and I'm getting sign languages from my lovely, well, no.
Lovely, handsome, I'm a guy.
Handsome, I'm correcting myself, chill, okay? My handsome, wonderful, garbage-taking outing husband.
Well, here we go about the goddamn garbage again.
So, we have a great, great episode today. We have so much to talk about. We're going to try and take it down to like an hour.
By the way, Big Mouth is Stephanie and I'm Anthony.
They know who I am.
You always bitch at me about the whole name thing. Come on now.
I'm talking. So, Off-Center Archers, Stephanie and Anthony, and thank you again for listening. We have lots to talk about in this episode.
Yes, quite a bit has happened in the last week. We're going to touch on some topics that we ran into at the range today. So
yeah, lots of shenanigans at the range today.
Yes,
lots of shenanigans. But
quite a bit of me running across the range line going, oh shit, this one's going to kill somebody.
Yeah, so let's talk about the positives first.
Yes, please.
No one got hurt. Let's just point that out there.
If I didn't catch that arrow, not in the arrow rest, somebody would have got freaking hurt.
All right. Anyway, Mr. Debbie Downer.
Not being Debbie Downer. It's true.
I know. I'm trying to move on. So, let's begin. So, we put the single pin sight on my bow.
Yes.
And I've been working with it for the past three weeks?
Yes.
Okay, 3 weeks. And, you know, my one big thing when I'm looking through my peep sight and I'm looking down at the target and I don't have all that clutter, you know, I'm not staring at, you know, 3, 4, 5 pins. I just have the one that I set to the range, you know, of what I'm shooting at. And it's really good. That's like the huge positive, huge positive. What I've been finding out is now that it's been, you know, a couple times working with it, that adjusting it is a huge, huge pain.
Well, keep in mind, we also did not get the True Glow Rover edition. So this one doesn't have the micro adjust big dial on it. This one, you have to loosen the bolt and nudge the bar with your thumb, so it's a bit of a pain in the ass to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I'm finding that as I'm trying to adjust it, it's a lot harder for me to go. And I mean, when you push it a little bit, if you push it too far, then you really have to go back and adjust it more, and you're just letting all these arrows go one after the other after trying to just fine tune this thing. I would like to maybe eventually try the micro adjust. But as of right now, we don't have that yet. So, I mean, as far as the True Glow, you know, the single pin, it's not a bad sight. It's just adjusting it takes a lot of time.
And it's actually too long. Realistically, if you think about it from a hunting perspective, if you're going to rain, if you get a deer, if you're lucky away and you get the quartering away shot and the deer stops, starts eating, starts drinking, whatever have you. You have about a 5, maybe tops, 10-second window to make the shot. It's going to take you that long, if not longer, to get this thing to precisely adjust to where you need it, being that it's not the Rover edition with the dial on it where you can just quickly turn it. There's enough tension on it where the sight won't move, where you can just rotate it to where you need it to be. This thing, you have to loosen the knob, push it, tighten it. Like we said, it's not easy to adjust quick on the fly.
No, it's so definitely not. Is. It's not a quick sight to adjust. You know, especially if you're just trying to tap it down a little bit or up a little bit. It's one of those you try to push it lightly, and then all of a sudden you just really loosen it a little bit more, and it just pushes way up. So then you just gotta kind of it's just time consuming. I just want to say. That's probably like the best word for it.
It's time consuming trying to adjust your center alignment since it's not the Rover edition, so it doesn't have the micro adjust bar on it.
Yeah.
So basically, you just like, you know, flip the the locking or the tightening mechanism, and then just click away to whichever direction you have to go. This thing, you have to loosen Allen keys, and then you bump it too far, and then you have to move it back. And if you're gonna buy a sight, spend the extra $15 and get something that has a micro adjust setting on it. It's so much better.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is I'm taking the True Glow, the micro bright that was on Anthony's bow, the 5-pin sight.
No. This is a different one. I have the Rival FX on my bow.
That's right. Okay.
I actually like and has been working very well for me. I absolutely love the micro adjust feature because it's like, if I'm slightly to the right, I can do one click and I'm done.
Yeah. I started to watch him at the range and he's adjusting his, and I'm looking, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Right.
I started getting jealous. I'm like, let me have your sight.
Well, so what we did now with hers is we switched her bow over to the True Glow Micro Bright. Mm-hmm. It's another one that I just happened to get for a steal of a kill of a price on eBay, brand new in the box. I actually picked a model that has three different thicknesses of fibers. The first pin, granted 15, 20 yards, 10 yards if you want like a smash style pin, is a 29, then it's got two 19s and then two 10s. But the difference in this one compared to what the single pin being on her bow before is the fact that this sight will be, well, first off, the sight window on the actual sight itself is larger. So that allows us to move the sight farther away because it's on a dovetail bar. So now, instead of her sight only being 2.5 inches in front of the riser, the sight is now 5 inches out from the riser, which gives her a better gap ratio on the pins. So, you know, she shouldn't feel as cluttered, hopefully, as it was before. So, but we're going to, you know, if she does still feel like it's cluttered, then we'll, you know, try and get our hands on one of the Rover True Glow editions with the micro adjust features to see how she likes that one better. But
I do like that micro adjust, though. I was watching you with it. Oh, I love it. And I have to say, I really, really did get jealous a little bit.
Well, it's a great feature. This is the first sight I've ever had with it. I'm used to the whole, like, Allen key, bump it over, you know. I'm used to all the old Cobras and the True Glows. Everything has, you know, you loosen an Allen key and you move it, you know.
Well, you were back in the day before that stuff was even invented, so I mean.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, but, you know, now with the whole new micro, that's why if, like, the Rover that you have, I mean, the Archer's Choice single pin that you have is, like, I think the retail is, like, $95.
Yeah.
$100, like that.
But you found it for...
Well, we got it for a killing price. It was on someone's bow for, like, 3 months, and they sold it to me for, like, $40.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, especially if you're just starting out, you don't, I mean, if it's in the good shape where it doesn't have any much wear and tear, like has been damaged,
right,
then it's completely fine. You don't need it to go into the store or on like a main site. And if you want to try something new, spend top dollar for these sites. Like what I found out about this single pin, if I would have paid retail for it, then, I mean, that would have kind of sucked now that I'm getting used to it, you know, trying to adjust it.
Well, the whole point of what we're doing, too, is to keep it on the starting archer's perspective and someone who's going to be on, like, a pretty, you know, a beginner's budget. Not someone who's going to be like, I'm not going to go out and buy a Hoyt Carbon Defiant as my first bow. Exactly. And if you do, granted, awesome bow, you a dummy for spending $1,500 on a bow to start. Because 3 months later, you're like, I don't like doing this.
Then they could just give it to me.
Oh, if someone wants to donate a Hoyt Carbon Defiant, yo, bro, I will be your best friend. I'm a mechanic. You need me to fix your car?
Yeah, just put a comment below and we'll send you our address. You can send
it to us. Exactly. Or a PSE Carbon Air.
No, but you kind of just reinforced my point, is that the fact that, you know, you get the deals on these and you try it out and you're like, oh, okay, I like this style, or I don't like this one. You kind of figure out what you want, and then once you actually get used to it and you know, okay, I like this style, I don't like this style, then you can start fine-tuning it and saying, like, you know, I'm going to spend money on something that I know I'm going to really like. Something that is really going to fit the way you shoot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's really what I'm saying.
So, like, the big thing, too, is with the single pins, and this is my opinion, actually, and this is a lot of opinion of the guys, a lot of people that I know that shoot. If you're going single pin, expect to pay money because you're going to want the one with the dial. Yeah. You're going to, you know, with the sight that's got the adjustable dovetail bar, you're gonna want, you know, you're talking a good single pin that you can laser sight range find something real fast, boom, click, hit the dial, done. You're talking 200 plus.
Yeah, but I think I can set you in to find me a cheaper version.
The one I would really actually right now for the bow you have, I would say, if we were to go single pin and if you would let me spend that type of money, my first choice for you would be a Spot Hog Fast Eddie XL with the dovetail bar. Right. But that's that, even for a single pin, that one's only $200.
Yeah.
You know, for a person like me who knows right now I'm shooting a $500 bow, I have full intentions within the next 2 years of possibly trying to get a Defiant.
But you can transfer all that stuff over.
I'll go out and I'll buy the Spot Hog Hogfather, which is like $340, which is like, you never have to buy another sight. You're done.
See how it is.
You know.
So you buy yourself the better one for yourself for Christmas, but me,
I've been shooting
for
20 plus years. You've been shooting for 3 months.
Happy wife, happy life.
Oh, here we go. See, anyway, this is what it's about. She starts drinking some beer, and all of a sudden she gets ballsy. No.
So today, our not sponsored, but could be, is by Blue Moon Belgian White. Just saying.
We ain't sponsored by no one.
No, that's okay. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, now, also at the range today, besides my sight, because we had my sight, we moved my peep sight, which we mentioned in our last podcast.
Now we actually have it in a really good spot for where you're really consistent now on
really
anchor point.
Really good spot.
Anchor point is dead on every single
today,
time.
Today, it was mostly just messing with the sight. That was really messing with, and
well, we had to
put
your starting mark back at your 10,
yeah,
at your 10 yards. So it was more, you know, playing with the sight a little,
and we
doing
played
a
with
lot
the
of adjusting.
The new stabilizer that we put on my bow.
Right. We took the True Glow True Tech that was on my bow, the 8-inch one or 9-inch one. No, 8-inch. That was on my bow, and we put it on your bow and took the Trophy Ridge Dart off.
Yeah.
Because you needed some more extra weight out front. Then we also played with that, you know, was 2 ounces out front,
off.
Was 3 ounces out front better? And after, what, like 5 or 6 rounds, you know, between going from the 2 ounces to 3 ounces, you were like, nope, it has to be the 3.
Yeah, the heavier actually worked out much better. It kept me from kind of roaming around.
Right, yeah, it definitely controlled your sway much better. You did much better with this stabilizer than you did with the light dart.
Yeah,
it's also more than double the weight.
I have to say, it was keeping me a little bit more grouped together.
Yeah, your groups were a lot tighter. Considering I had to re-fletch your arrows today again.
Yeah. With you at the range today, it was you put on the drop away rest.
Yes. My new C-Max, another item that I got for a killer deal, brand new in the package. I got the G5 C-Max drop away arrow rest.
It was cycle tested 1 million times. Right on the package.
That's what the manufacturer says. They built one and they cycled it 1 million times. Anyway.
I just had to read that because it is in...
Oh, it's in bright-ass red on the package.
It's bright red. It's made to stand out. So I felt there was the need to really put that in there.
But you know, I followed directions. I found one... I think I've watched the first video. And I think, matter of fact, the video I watched was the installation of it from G5 themselves.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes, I had this thing installed. Granted, it wasn't aligned.
No.
I took my tape measures and my bar out and everything like that and aligned it the best I could sitting here on my coffee table in my living room. Then we went to the range today and we shot some arrows through paper. And what'd it take me? 10 minutes and I got it straight?
But
10,
what is
15?
That called? Paper tuning.
Yes, paper tuning, yes. So... You know, always a good idea, any rest you have. I don't care if it's a whisk or biscuit. Just paper tune a thing. It could take you 15 minutes.
It's also good to know.
It is. Definitely a good habit to know. Like, I really want to do it to your bow, even though right now your bow has a whisk or biscuit because something happened with the USPS delivery of your True Glow updraft that we had ordered. And it was supposed to be delivered Friday. And they're like, oops, we don't know where it is at the moment.
Yeah, it's kind of lost somewhere.
Yeah, it'll probably be here like Monday or Tuesday. Granted,
Postal
last week.
Postal service space.
Yeah, it's in limbo.
it's in a black hole.
I would even be interested in paper tuning your whisker biscuit, because you look at when you hit the target, every single arrow is pointed to the right.
Yeah, I did notice that today on mine. Everything that was in the target had a right angle on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So something's going on there that we have to look at. You know, unfortunately, you can't always live at the range. Maybe back in our single days we could. But as of right now, I think that'll be on our list for next time we go, is to figure out what's going on with mine, because they have all they're right angled right now. So something's.
Yes. All the arrows are right angle. Yeah. Yes. To an angle.
I'm getting these weird looks, like you weren't there. Yeah. Sorry.
I was just laughing to myself because I'm looking at the package and it says from the opening of the package, you should be able to get this installed in 5 minutes. And no shit, it took me 5 minutes to do it.
Hey, man, they don't
lie. It's serious. I mean,
they don't lie.
5 minutes and I was done. And by the way, also, another thing, and this is a personal opinion of mine.
Yeah, we are not sponsored, period, at all.
I don't even think I can get this for a sponsored price of what I got it for.
No, because you only paid eBay.
$46 shipped for it, brand new in the box. Yeah,
people, like, go on eBay. You know, do your research.
We were at Gander today.
Should we give a shout out to the eBay seller yet or no? I don't even think we have his name yet.
No, I have his name. It's stored in my phone. We'll do it next week if I keep buying stuff from this dude.
Or we'll just but I have post bought it on our Facebook.
Five things from him so far in a row?
Yeah, I think so. He likes us.
Yeah, probably. Guy's probably like, damn, this dude orders a lot of crap.
Yeah, we'll once we find out his name, we'll give out a little shout out to him on our Facebook page.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, he sells some good stuff. It's not beat up. It's not in bad condition.
Actually, most of the stuff's brand new in the box.
Yeah, brand new. You know? He deserves it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, this thing took 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was on the bow.
And I think it took you two rounds of paper shooting to get it really lined up.
No, it was three. Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't that much.
It was three rounds of paper tuning.
Adjusting. Yeah.
And the good part was I only had to do side to side adjustments. My vertical load was like almost dead on just by me using a ruler in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, there's simple ways of doing that.
So, 5 minutes installed, three rounds of paper tuning done, and I'm very impressed. The only thing that threw me off completely about it is a full enclosure arrow rest, which is cool. All right, you know, you pull back and it keeps the arrow in there. It's fine.
Right.
But when you shoot a whisker biscuit, you shoot two veins down, one vein up. But when you shoot this style arrow rest, because it's full contained, because it's nice and tight, it's like super, super tight inside this thing, you have to shoot two veins up, one vein down. So the first two rounds of me shooting it, I'm like, what the hell is going... Well, the first round of paper tuning, I was absolutely throwing myself off completely because I'm like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
They're all going in this one direction. And I looked at one of the arrows and sure as hell I had a mark from the arrow rest on the vein. So I took out the little instruction for tuning, because it comes with a card for as you're paper tuning it, and it says right on it, two veins up, one vein down. I flipped the arrows over on the second set of three arrows, and it was like, okay, the hit mark's done, and it was like, adjust to the right. All right, you know, got my arrows. Mm-hmm. One more round, couple more adjustments, done. So it's reverse of what you would normally do, and you'd normally have two veins down, one vein up, with any style pass-through rest, be it, you know, the whisker biscuit or the three-finger style one. Mm-hmm. This one is opposite. It's one vein down and two veins up.
Yeah, and I think both you and me, between you doing this with your new dropway and then me going through with the sight, we still managed to... break some of our fletchings off.
Again. Yes.
Again. Mine went flying. Yours went flying. You're at two, actually.
Yes, I broke two in one round.
So I have to say, me personally, I have to say, we had to buy more quick fletchings.
Now, keep in mind, mine, we had already mentioned that I had the boning quick fletches, I believe they were called.
Yeah.
On mine. With the blazer fletchings and stuff like that. So mine I had already previously ripped off, and I'm like, I want to try these. Now, with the bonings, my grouping was good. Mm-hmm. It really was. And it was a reason I was ripping arrows apart.
It was, the blazers?
Yeah, with the blaze. I mean, I was hitting them into each other. But after damaging three of them, I just said, all right, you know, they did the job. I know the grouping's good. I want to see if there's something I can do that's a little tighter. Maybe make the arrows twist faster.
Yeah, so we got these. It's by New Archery Products.
NAP, as everyone else
calls NAP. them. Well, it stands for New Archery Products.
Yep.
It's their quick fletch. They're called quick spin vanes. And how much did we pay for them? It's like $20.
$16. $16.99 a set. I believe it was of six.
You know, honestly, they're not. It's not an expensive item. And to tell you the truth, when you look on the back of the packaging, because I'm actually looking at it right now, you have figure 1, 2, and 3 for their directions. It's a 3-step process. And I have to say, it is the easiest thing that you can ever do at home. These quick fletch, I mean, honestly, it's the most simplest, and it's much easier than you probably think.
Even Walmart's carrying them now.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not an expensive item to carry, so there's no reason why they shouldn't carry them.
No, well, Walmart only sells the 3-packs, which even at Walmart, I think they're like $8.99 or $7.99, something like that, for a 3-pack, which is still fine. I mean,
we went to Gander Mountain and spent this, so you know, it's not
our normal shooting location.
Yeah, and we bought, we didn't buy it for last time, but we bought it for this time. It's by Boning. It's a stripper, and it basically, it removes...
It's called, by the way, it's called The Stripper.
Oh, I'm sorry. The, I left out the.
Yes, The.
The Stripper. Like, if you look at the packaging, it says The Stripper. All in capital. And it
Buy
removes...
this thing. If you're going to remove fletchings, buy this thing. Because when you see online, and you see people removing with the razor blade, it looks easy.
No.
I did it with putting the arrows in boiling water to get the glue off, and it's not hard. It's tedious, it's time-consuming, because the razor blade is so damn sharp, you will cut into the carbon of the arrow. Let me tell you, this thing is phenomenal. I was in my kitchen, on my counter, and I was getting each arrow done without having to heat the arrows in under a minute an arrow. Glue gone, ready to throw the new fletchings on.
It doesn't damage the actual shaft of the arrow either.
No, actually, well, because the blade that's actually on...
is curved.
The strip is curved to the size of your standard thickness, like carbon arrow or your normal arrow right now, because they're all pretty much the same thickness depending on the manufacturer. But took them off, no problem. Virtually no scarring on the arrow whatsoever. You know,
you did that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I did 11 arrows. I did all 6 of yours plus 5 of mine in 10 minutes. They were ready to get the NAP quick fletches put on.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, you basically slide on the wrap.
You have to remove the knock.
Yeah. So you take the knock off. You have your pot of boiling water on your stove. So you take the knock off. And then you put the wrap on the end of the arrow. And all you do is basically tap the arrow on the counter. So it lines up flat.
Well, that's the way we do them because we don't want our fletchings too far from the end. We use the standard like 1-inch rule, which is the length of the actual wrap itself.
Exactly.
So what we normally do is how I showed her I do it, is you slide the wrap onto the arrow, make sure it's not to the end of the arrow, stand the arrow up vertically, and literally slide the arrow into the tube until it hits your counter.
Yeah, and then it'll be even.
And then you're flush with the bottom.
And then you take that end and put it into the pot of boiling water. You twist. You make sure you're not scraping the bottom of your pot either.
Yeah, you don't want to burn the fletchings.
But you're doing it on
an
angle, depending on how deep your pot is. If you have a crock pot going, then it's not really going to matter. But
a crock pot? Really? You're going to wait for 10 hours for the fucking water to boil?
Listen, if that's all you got...
Bro, come back at 4 p.m. The water will finally be boiling.
You know, you work with what you have, okay? But you dip it in there and you're twisting and you count to about 5 and you take it out, make sure there's no air bubbles in it. And that's it.
Visually inspect them. Make sure there's no air bubbles. If there is, shove them back in, and it'll tighten so hard that it's ready to go.
Yeah, it's that easy, you know. You get the water.
Right. And by the way, we also got, these are the, like she said, these are the NAP quick fletch ones, but we decided to go with the quick spin ones.
Because, I did say that.
Oh, you did say quick spin?
I don't know where you were. Yep, you were, yeah. You must have been somewhere else.
I must have been drinking this Blue Moon.
Yeah, but, it's pretty good.
But according to this, their advertised thing is that the quick spin causes them to group even tighter. So either supposedly, our groupings are going to get better, and I'm going to break even more shit.
So you buy more of their stuff.
Which I'm fine with. If it groups my group is already disgusting at 30 yards. Mm. You know, I at 30 yards, I break stuff easily.
Do you want to pat yourself on the back more?
Yeah, I might knock myself out if I pat too hard. But if this makes them any tighter, I might as well just buy stock in this shit.
I was going to say, that's good for them, because if that's the case, then you'll just break more off and you'll have to buy more of their stuff.
Right. Well, the thing I like, too, about them is the fact that when you first take them out of the package, you're like, all right, whatever. It looks like every other wrap. Like, what makes them spin harder? And then you take a really good close look at the vein and you notice there's an extra little lip on the top of the vein that you're like, okay, at 300 plus feet a second, I could see where that's going to come in handy and make this thing spin hard.
Aerodynamic.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week, or you know, since like she said earlier, we had some shenanigans at the range. If we can get out of the house early tomorrow, maybe we can extra visit to the range tomorrow.
Yeah,
possibly.
Do an extra one. Maybe do an extra little.
Because today episode. I spent more time playing teacher than I did playing shooter.
Yeah. So. On that note.
And that's not a knocking comment. I don't mind teaching people. Okay. I actually love doing it.
So let's back up. When you first, this is all our view and opinion. I mean, you can do what you want and, you know, we're not stating facts by any means at all. But if you are just going out and you are first time shooter, I've never shot a bow before. Don't know if you're going to like archery. You could really hate it.
Right.
Do not go out and spend. And especially if you don't know if you're left or right hand dominant, or you think you are, but you know, you don't know which way you're going to go. You're lefty and they say you're righty, or opposite way around. A good thing is maybe not spend as much money on your setup as you think you might. You might look at someone else who's been shooting, like, okay, their setup cost X amount of money, clearance bow. And we had a lot of your older stuff that we just transferred to my bow, and then we've gone from there.
And hence, we've already replaced everything.
Right, but the thing is, you want to kind of start off with a cheaper bow. Doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad one. It could just be last year's model. A lot of stores, what they'll do is they'll sell out. They have their seasons. So whatever was going on, they release a new bow this season. Let's just say the current season, they want to put a new camo print out. They put a new model out, whatever the case may be. The companies are going to rotate through their product. They have their baseline and then they have their seasonal. Their seasonal stuff, they'll rotate out. So their old seasonal stuff from last hunting season is going to get marked down because they don't want that as their main product anymore. They want their new seasonal line coming out. So you want to look at the bows like from last season that hit clearance. Sometimes you can find online.
You mean like I did?
Yeah. But hold on, we'll get to that in a second. But you, even if you look online, and as long as it's in good condition, the bow's not damaged, some people will just rotate through their bows, and they have that experience, and they've been shooting, that they know what bows they want to upgrade to, and they don't want to keep their older ones around, so they just sell it, either with everything on it, or without, like a bare bow. You can find, a bow that you can start out with that's fairly on the cheaper side of the whole pricing scale of like a whole bow setup. So for a first time shooter, please do not, unless you got the money,
don't go crazy is basically the sum of the story.
Don't go crazy. Don't try and spend all this money on a bow that you don't know if, like, let's say you get a right-handed bow, and it ends up your left-handed.
Yeah, your left eye dominant.
And honestly, personally, me, I can do some things left-handed, and I can do some things right-handed. So I'm kind of like split half and half. And you never know that even with the eye dominant, you could be, if you're right eye dominant, you could still feel more comfortable shooting left-handed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you don't know where your cards are going to fall,
basically. Especially, like, you know, depending on how old you are. Like, if you're a young person trying to get into shooting archery or any sort of shooting, if you find out you're right-handed, you would automatically figure you're right eye dominant, but you end up being left eye dominant. It's easy at a young age to correct it. But if you're my damn age and I end up, I'm almost 40. So if you end up at my age and you're like, oh, well, you're left eye dominant. I've been shooting a bow right-handed for 24 years. You think I'm going to switch now to lefty?
You know,
I've been trained for 24 years to shoot this way.
You know, rifles, they say,
guns, handguns, you name it.
They say that kids in school, because a lot of people are right-handed.
Oh, 90% of everything is made for righty.
What they'll do is teachers sometimes, when a kid is trying to learn how to write, sometimes teachers will force, or parents or whoever's with them guiding them, will force a right or left more than the other because that's what they are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's a learned behavior. It's a learned habit. It's a learned thing to use either right or left.
Oh, yeah. But
if you go on the natural point of view, it could be the total opposite. Yep, or absolutely. You can be one of those that can do both. Some people can swing a bat righty-lefty equally. Right.
Yes.
Righty-lefty equally.
Yeah. So it's not, I can't. You can do that.
I wouldn't say equally, but, oh, yeah, you know, it's pretty close. Yeah, it's
you
close.
Even draw right-handed and left-handed, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Granted, it's completely two different styles, like two different people are drawing it, which is cool.
Because you use the right side of the brain and left side of the brain. But, you know, you can have, if you're shooting a gun, lefty, lefty, lefty. I mean, that could have been a learned behavior.
Yes.
Or that could be just natural.
Right.
It could be one of the two. So
especially when you're especially when you're that hand situation.
Yeah.
If you're a lefty and you've been shooting lefty for years,
well, then fine. People take the side that you write with automatically. That's your dominant side.
Right.
But writing could have been a learned behavior to begin with. It might not be your natural side.
Right.
So the whole point of that is that when you're buying a bow and you think that you're righty, you can find out that it's totally different, or oh, yeah, the other way around. So not spending so much money on a bow setup, if you have to switch, it won't be such a huge hit than if you spend all this money and then you're like, crap, you know what? I'm shooting with the wrong side.
Well, because now, what, in the last 2 months, we've ran into two people that have bought bows, and they end up being the other eye dominant.
Yeah.
And now, realistically, both of these people bought really, really high-end bows. So now they're both out about $1,000+ each. And you really do end up feeling bad for the person. I mean, you spent $1,000. Now you have to try and sell it. Or give it to a family member, or whatever the case may be that you're going to try and do. But now you're going to try and buy the same exact bow in the opposite hand because it doesn't work for you what you bought. So in a lot of cases, and I expressed this to the person today at the range, and that the couple that we met today at the range was fantastic, awesome people,
awesome couple.
Friendly as can be.
Pretty cool guy.
You know, I'm trying to give pointers. Dude never shot a bow. You know,
poor guy. I gave him my arm guard.
Yeah, Steph gave him his arm guard today because he got a hell of a welt on his forearm.
I felt so bad.
And,
I really did.
You know, trying to give easy pointers. All right, dude, try to do this. Try to do that. Try to set your grip position this way before you start shooting so you start in the correct position. You know, the things you're supposed to teach someone where basically it's hunting season, bow season is coming here, so the bow techs are loaded. They were like, he's in the range, he'll watch you, which they were pointing at me, which is fine. I don't care.
You know, I have to add in right there is that unfortunately, some of these places, they have one main guy. And yes. This one guy, you know,
he's overwhelmed right now. Horribly.
They get overwhelmed. And the problem is that they don't give them enough staff to help. And they don't hire other techs that are on equal playing level as far as knowledge goes. And they overwhelm him. So if he has like two or three setups to do in at the same time, it's really just an overload.
Right. Well, see, that's another one of our kind of like things we want to hint on in this segment is the timing of buying a bow.
Don't do it at hunting season.
or within like 2 to 3 weeks of hunting season. Because like she said, you're going to walk into a situation where the bow tech is overwhelmed. Like we bought our bows in June. We bought our bows. Well, right now, technically, we didn't buy our bows with expectations of hunting in this season. It was more so that I took my wife to the range and she fell in love with it the first day.
Listen, it was my birthday present and we bought it around the time when you went to the range there and it was us and the crickets.
Yeah, pretty much. You shot. I mean, you could see it in your eyes the first arrow you let rip. Oh, you just looked at me and was like, that was fantastic.
Oh, it's such a stress reliever. It's great. And, I mean, you know, just on that note, I can tell when my mind is still cluttered and when I'm actually, like, letting everything clear out of my head. Because when I'm letting myself just clear out and just forget all the BS that went on for the day.
That's when I have to repair more shit. Yeah. When she blows knocks apart. That's when she rips veins off.
This
is another reason why we switch to the wrap quick fletching styles, because when me and her are on wrap? Point, or quick wraps, whichever. Quick fletches are called.
Yeah, you just said wrap quick.
Oh, sorry. but when we're on point that day, when we go in, mind's clear, shooting, we rip fletchings off arrows at 20, 30 yards back-to-back nonce. I did it, a 5-shot-in-a-row group? And damage 2 arrows out of 5.
Yeah.
You know.
But then the days when my mind is still, like, cluttered with crap, and I can't refocus on anything else, you know, I'm, like, all over the place.
Right.
Not as bad as you'd think, but to me, I've seen my tighter group, so I'm like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's one of the things we stressed in one of the other episodes where it was, like, go in expecting one day you're going to have a good day and another time you're going to have a shit day.
Today it was just too all over the place. I mean, I was messing with my site. You know, we had all of the other distractions going on. And granted,
we were messing with your site, doing my paper tuning. Yeah. I'm trying to help other people. It was a little bit of a cluster. It was still, you know, we still got an hour and a half in. But, you know, we're going to try and get another round in, hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah.
But... You know, all in all, we still need to get some shots done. My bow, my arrow rest right now is properly paper tuned. I'm shooting bullet holes with 3 marks in them.
But, I mean, getting back to the whole deal, I mean, if you're going to be setting up first time, try not to do it around hunting season. You know, some of these guys are just, it's
too much.
Too much on their plate. You're not getting that quality one-on-one time that you should be getting.
Yes.
Where they can go in.
Or if you're actually, if you're going to buy a bow during or close to hunting season, don't go on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't go when everyone's shopping.
No.
Like right now, like she said, we go to Gander Mountain all the time. It is close to where we live. Mm-hmm. It's a quick ride. We're there. We know the bow tech. He set both of our bows up. Granted, I've changed some of the stuff on both bows because I've watched videos.
He's not going to be able to foresee every little exact thing that you're going to want tweaked on the bow.
Well, right now, the point is that he's overwhelmed right now. Yeah. He's got so many people setting up bows, setting up arrows. You know, he's tuning arrows to have broadheads put on them, so he has to match the fletchings with the exact space of the broadhead. Mm-hmm. So the point is right now he's overwhelmed. So the timing is just not right. You know, if you're going to try and buy a bow during or close to, I'd say within 30 days of hunting season, do yourself a favor. Try to go during the week.
Yep.
Because during the week, it's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
That gives him time to say, all right, you know, I have all these arrows waiting for the weekend or something. He's cutting everyone's arrows up or something like that. It's not going to be like where, okay, I set this dude's bow up. Oh, you're next. I got to set your bow up. And mm-hmm. I got to set your crossbow up. You know, this guy's buying a crossbow plus limb savers. And you got 5,000 things going on. Normally, when we go to Argander Mountain, there is one bow tech.
Yeah.
Right now, they are so killer swamped because the fact that our bow tech is knocking shit out the fucking park. That now there are two full-time guys in just the archery department nonstop because of the fact that
he's training this guy.
But still, they gave him a second full-timer?
Yeah.
I mean, no chain does that. You know, the gun counter, yeah, all right, you know, there's two, three, four full-timers. Archery's not like that.
Well, so do yourself a favor. Call out of work one day. You know, use that quality sick time for a day that you're not sick. And then go set your bow up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. No, it's true.
You don't use sick days from work to be sick. You go to work sick, infect everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your healthy days, infect all the people you hate working with. Or go cough on your boss. And then use your sick days for healthy to go set up your bow. So, that's just a, I don't know, advice.
Yeah, pretty much.
From what we saw. And so we're in the range. And one of the other things that we saw, I really, you know, and I'm not a longtime shooter, but there's some things that you look at and you're just, your first instinct is like, that's not safe. There's something wrong with that. And
oh, do you mean like adjusting someone's cams without a bow press? No.
I didn't see that one.
I did.
I
was like, oh, shit, that bear's going to explode. I'm going to go to this side of the room.
Did they really?
Yes. He was adjusting her draw length without a bow press right there on the counter. And I'm like, bro, you a dummy.
Yeah, so again, go to your bow tech. Don't do that.
That's fine. I understand that adjusting draw lengths is easy. It's not hard.
Majority of the time,
you don't need a bow press. But God forbid your timing on your cams is slightly out of place. Mm-hmm. Something rotates. Something gets angry. Someone can get hurt.
Yeah.
So, do it the right damn way.
Go to your bow tech. He has the stuff. Or if you have the stuff at home, or if you have a friend who has the stuff, go use the things that you're supposed to use. Let's just put it simply. Do it the correct way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And secondly, if you're going to go to a range, and this is not really to knock anyone, it's really not, but it's the truth. I've been shooting for 24 years. If someone like me wants to give you advice and tells you don't, yes, you have a kisser button on your bow. Use it for locating your anchor consistently.
That's why it's
and
there.
And someone else who is shooting for like, I don't know, 6 or 9 months, who's telling you like, yeah, you really got to like jam it in there and make sure you feel it. Don't listen to that dumbass.
Don't be nice.
I'm being nice. I could have said a lot more vulgar shit than that.
True.
Because I told you the same thing. Facial pressure is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not good.
You want to just, that button is there so you feel it in the corner of your mouth. Right. That's all it is. It doesn't. You don't have to jam your nose on the string. You don't have to jam that fucking kisser button into the corner of your mouth until it hits your damn teeth. But if you
think
about it,
think of a lot of ads that have we've run into that have shown these people with the string.
The arrow falling off the string.
You know what? Ev.
I caught that redneck ad. I saw that shit, Rogan. That him and Cam are talking about that ad in that one podcast we were listening to.
You know, you have to show me that one because that specific one that they were talking about, I have not seen.
Oh my God, it's great. I've been trying to search for that. That dude's got that string so wedged in his face that his skin is overlapping the other side of the string. The arrow is falling off the string and you're like, this hillbilly's going to fucking kill someone. That arrow is going to get launched like vertically. It's going to go through the next house's window and spear somebody.
You really got to show me that one. It's great. I've been looking for it. Well,
oh my God.
Anyway, oh my gosh, you just completely lost track of. Okay, I got it. And it's like, oh look, squirrel.
Oh, squirrel.
So you know, it's. I learned. Well, when I first started shooting, I was pressing into my face, but I didn't really realize I was doing it until someone said. well, you, because you go shooting with me, mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. And then we made the adjustments, and then, you know.
Right.
But this guy, this is his first time shooting, so he didn't know. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why he was doing
right,
it.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. I mean, like the timing was almost wrong because, like, when we took you, mm-hmm. When I took you the first time with the recurve, and you decided, I really, really like this.
Another thing, learn on a recurve.
No. That's my belief.
Yeah, this is our opinion. This is a podcast for our opinion.
Good point. All right.
This is all opinions. We're not experts.
Yes. All right. I've said that in other podcasts. I believe you should learn traditional first.
It makes you respect the fact of the technology that has progressed to where we are now, from recurve to everything where you have that let off that is so wonderful that you're not holding all this pressure back. You have all these sights that you can look at how much farther down than a recurve that you can get so much more accurate. Then you know what? You have that respect there that, like, holy crap, I have all this extra stuff on this bow to help me shoot farther and more accurate.
Granted, she got this impression of one time going to the range with the recurve.
Yeah, but I also look at a lot more than...
No. But that's... I kind of buried it in your head that you have to learn on the recurve first. And like I said, this is my personal thing.
This is after years and years of you telling me, like, certain views that you have of shooting. This is not just like what is this?
Well, my view with a lot of things is you have to learn where everything comes from.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole when it comes to that shit.
Then you have
I went from V8 carbureted to turbos and fuel injection and all-wheel drive rally cars that were monster. I know, but what I'm saying, but I went from the beginning. You know, one of my old-ass Oldsmobiles had points. I had my cousin teach me how to set points on an ignition. That shit's been gone since, like, before I was born.
But it's good to have that respect for
right.
From
but
where
that's
you
my
went
need. I have that need to go
now.
From the beginning to now. You know, it's like I was having our first cell phones. I had one of them bricks,
I know.
Nokias or, you know, i1000 Nextels that you could run over with a fucking forklift and it would laugh at you, be like, ah, bitch, try again.
Then dial up was the shit.
Yeah, exactly. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Oh my God, this is awesome.
And now we have a 200 megabyte download, not 52K or 56K.
To get back to the whole range and safety.
Sorry about the off topic.
Because I know, that's right. You know what? If they're still listening now, then they're in. So, you know, the whole thing with safety, another thing I saw, so when you carry a bow, you, how you normally hold it at the grip, you carry it, when you're not using it, you hang it up, and you do whatever you have to do.
Or you still carry it by the grip.
Okay, you carry it by the grip. You do not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you do not take your release, clip it on
the D loop,
and carry it around by that.
No, you mean you're not supposed to walk around swinging it by the D loop? No.
I saw that today, and I don't know. You know what? It gets to the point where it's not really your place to say anything to people because you can't go in there and start. It's people you don't know. Like. I got nothing. I don't know what to say to that.
Well, one, it's wrong.
I know. You know. But it's like, what are you doing?
It's no, not to sound like a fucking old man. It's no respect for your weapon.
No, it's like swinging a gun around.
You know, yes, no.
Not to that effect, because a gun you have, it's a it can go off and kill someone a lot easier than an arrow is just resting in your bow, it'll just fall out. Right. It's not gonna go off like a gun. But what my point is that you need to have some sort of respect for what you're using.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
You can't just treat it, you know.
Yeah,
like
no, that's what it was. It was just a complete, utter lack of respect for what was in their hand and what the possibilities are. I mean, just swinging the bow.
Oh my God.
With your trigger release on the D loop, swinging it around, there is a very chance possibility, depending on how much she makes it vibrate or whatever.
You dry fire it.
Not even. No. You'd have to pull back to dry fire it.
True.
But what if she shakes it enough where positive, because she was shooting at an extremely low weight, so the string would have been loose.
Yeah, that is true.
She could vibrate it off the cam. Vibrate the string right off the cam. You know, or partially off the cam before she pulls back, and then when she pulls it back, it blows the string completely off. But it's
just the lack of, you know, and my main thing is the lack of respect for it. You know, it's a boat. Like, I mean, a lot of people, it's a lot for them to purchase these things. It's not something that's just handed to them. It's not something that they just...
No, boat archery shooting realistically becomes a lifestyle.
Exactly.
It really does.
And I feel like that was being handled just very...
Poorly.
Yeah, it was. Poorly. Exactly what it was. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but she actually had an arrow in, like, set up to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it down, and she still had her
release
attached to it.
Yeah, she was swinging the bow around with the arrow. And she was swinging it around. Yeah, I know. Well, this is also the same person that drew the arrow back.
Oh,
I happened to be teaching, like we said, we ran into a couple, and the guy was shooting a bow for the first time. So I'm trying to give him instruction. Okay, dude, you know, grip formation. Okay, now we got your feet in the right spot. Stand up straight. Nice, good posture. Arms in the correct location. I turn around, and I happen to notice she is at full draw. And anyone who's ever shot a whisker biscuit, you know how your whisker is in a V where you slide your arrow into place where it goes into the center hole. Well, she's ready to fire, and this damn thing is still in the V at full draw, and it's not in the ring. It's not in the circle, the firing circle. So I quickly tell her, stop where you are. Don't move. And she goes, what? And I tap the arrow into the circle. I'm like, now you can fire it. Because if you would have fired it beforehand, you would have hurt someone because that arrow would have launched to left.
You know, and as we were leaving, she...
So safety. Oh, pay gosh. Attention to what you're doing.
She took a shot, and it was only at 10 yards, the target.
Oh, God, the arrow came back.
So she must have hit at 10 yards. They were shooting at some plates, which, whatever. So they had some plates resting on top of the block. Like, you had your block set up, and then your target.
Right.
They had the plates as the target on it. And then on top of the block, they had extra ones, which, okay, whatever. And then there's a strap going
ratchet
around
strap.
The... Yeah, it goes around the entire thing to hold it together, because it's actually in two pieces. So...
Basically what this says is that our Gander Mountain has two 36-inch... 48-inch wide blocks. Everyone knows block targets. It's like the foam sheets that are all pressed together. They have two 48-inch, I believe it's 48 by 2 foot tall setups stacked on top of each other and then ratchet strapped on a rolling base.
Yeah, because it's almost as tall as me. It comes up
right,
to
it's
like,
about 5 foot tall.
It comes up to like my like middle your eyes. Of my face. Yeah.
Right. So it's essentially five feet tall, but it's 4 feet wide each one.
And we're going to leave. And she takes a shot. And I don't know how it went this far off or how this even happened that the arrow actually came back.
It hit the hook on the ratchet strap and came flying back into the firing line.
Yeah. You know, at that point we were going anyway. So I was kind of glad to get out of there.
Yes.
But honestly, that other couple that was there, that the first time shooting.
Well, it was his first time shooting.
It was his first time shooting. She has
has a very decent bow set that she described to me.
Actually,
and on point.
I enjoy talking to them.
Yes, very much so.
And, you know, it seemed like the other group, because we were with the two groups. It was the husband and wife, and then the one guy with, I think, a friend and her sister or something like that.
I think it might have been his girlfriend and her sister
maybe.
Or something.
I know they weren't
Or
married.
His sister and his girlfriend or something.
Something like that. Anyway, you know.
And he's the one that we're referencing for about the eye dominance, because he was left-handed, but he
was... The husband-wife.
Yes, the husband and wife couple. He was instructed that he was right eye dominant. And by the end of like an hour session, he was getting good groups. His pin location was in the wrong spot. There was a couple of things that I pointed out that, in my opinion, needed to be changed, like his kisser button and D-loop. One of them must have slid.
Yeah.
And
he's the one we were really referring to that he...
He's the one I was giving instruction to.
He, you know, he shoots a gun left-handed. He does a lot left-handed. But he has a right, they figured he has a right, now the Bowtech figured he has a right dominant eye.
Either the Bowtech or the assistant, one of the two.
The thing is that he's shooting right-handed. So he could have been a righty, but from whoever taught him in the beginning to shoot a gun, thought he was lefty, and they just trained him to do lefty. So...
Well, he writes and everything left-handed. He even said it.
And but this the is, thing is...
And she was nervous. I mean, she really was about the purchase.
You get kind of caught. Is that you, when you're being fit with a bow, you kind of have to have somewhat of a voice. You can't... Because he was really quiet.
Very and much
he,
so, yeah.
She was more the voice. But the thing is, it's not her bow. It's his bow.
Right.
So he has to say... He has to speak up, like, this doesn't feel right. There's something wrong. When you're going through buying the bow. Because once you buy it and they set it up and they start adjusting things and they start kind of adding other things... You know, you get to the point where you can't exactly just return it and say, hey, here you go, sorry. Because there's a lot of other things that are involved in what they already did with that bow to adjust it to your lengths. So, you know, you have to kind of speak up when they're saying right or left, but you do all these other things in the left and you honestly feel... That, you know, you're a lefty, you say, listen, I shoot, you know, little test that eye dominance showed me right, you know, right dominant, but...
But he even said his hands didn't fully go to the right.
No. That at that point, it's your job. You have to speak up and say, listen, I shoot a gun. I already shoot a gun lefty. I have multiple guns that I shoot lefty. They're all outfitted lefty. I do multiple other things lefty. I write left-handed. I know it showed up righty, but I feel more comfortable getting a lefty bow. And, you know, you kind of have to, it's also your job. Like the bow tech can't, read your mind. He can't foresee everything that you're comfortable with without you telling him. He can't, you know... You have to play some kind of, you know, some role in that decision making.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Can't just go there and expect him to look at you and do one simple eye test and say, oh, this is your entire setup. That is not fair to the bow tech. That is really not fair.
Well, it's not fair to either of them, really.
No, because then
you know, and that's why I kind of expressed my opinion on it where, like I said, he had... A good group by the end of like an hour.
He was starting to get comfortable with it.
He was starting to get comfortable with it. Got his arm in the right position. Got the elbow in the right position.
His
after
poor arm. Oh
yes, God. Yes. He had quite a bit of bruises. And hence why Stephanie like actually literally handed him a arm guard.
Oh, I couldn't.
But after, you know, the pointers I gave him and stuff like that, he finally had his arm in the right position. Good location. Ready to go. Not forcing the elbow to twist where it would stick out the thick. You know, gripping portion of the muscles on your forearm, which we're getting absolutely brutalized on his first couple of shots.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I feel so bad for him.
And he's at the end, he started getting a good group. But they were kind of both paranoid about the fact that he is naturally left-handed.
Yeah.
He shoots rifles lefty. He hunts left-handed. He writes left-handed. He shoots his pistols left-handed.
He might be lefty.
I gave her my honest opinion.
He might be.
He wolf. Is, and he's the gentleman was older than I am by almost a decade.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So I gave them
graveyard.
My honest opinion. He, oh Jesus Christ! I hope to God she's not listening to this.
No, I'm just.
Remember what we said about the beer, okay? That's being involved
I'm
in
just,
this one.
Okay? I'm just making a crack at the fact that my husband told.
Oh God, please.
Hello, late to
my
the
mother-in-law
party.
Has been telling me I'm 40 since I was 35.
She's just messing with you.
Yeah, I know. But she does it on purpose and so well at it. But anyway. And I told her. I was like, if you're so really worried about it, in my honest opinion, get a left-handed bow. Let him go in there and shoot a lefty bow for an hour.
But you know.
And let him make the decision because he's the one that's going to shoot it.
But here's
okay,
the money
after
dropping.
An hour, you know, do you feel good saying, yes, I need the right-handed bow, or fuck no, I'm lefty?
You really got to find the left-handed bow to shoot. You got to find a setup. That's the problem. You know, I think...
But that's where the timing of going to buy a bow came into place.
Here's another thing,
it's bad time. Yes, I understand that she bought it for him for his birthday. Awesome, bro. I mean, what fucking wife besides maybe you is going to buy a husband a $1,000 bow for their birthday? None.
There's like a 5% out there. 5%.
I think you're going high on that shit.
Come on, 4.5.
I know, maybe two women.
Nah, get out of here.
You and Dyer, the only two that I... No. Maybe you, Ty, and...
For all you women out there listening right now, comment below, wherever you can comment, if you're part of that 5% to back me up on this. I need that 5%. I'm getting that
Screw
look.
You.
Anyway. But anyway, you know, it's the whole money dropping. You know, if you don't know, if you do something's lefty and you're righty and like you don't know 100% or even close to over 50%, then you have to have a fully set up bow to really test out. Not a lot of people can drop all this money on both just to try to figure it out. Honestly, I mean, because if that happened to me, you know, we'd have to save up a little bit to get another full setup.
Right now, if someone said, oh, by the way, you're left eye dominant.
Excuse me?
Are you smoking crack?
Excuse me?
Oh, what the fuck? No. I've been shooting this way for 24 years. You think I'm going to switch now?
No.
Too late, bro.
Not you, but me, because I'm newer.
You, yes. All right. But we also played it smart with you. I have so much shit. Mm-hmm. You know, how many sights do we have sitting on the shelf
but
right now? How many whisker biscuits do we got?
All
of the sights we have are reversible.
True.
Every single sight we have purchased as of recently is all reversible,
the
including the True
Tex. The drop away is right hand.
Your drop away is not. Your drop away, the True Glow updraft is a reversible right to left.
Really?
So right now we would still be out $0.
Wow, that is smart on True Glow's part.
So even your sight that we just put on, that micro bright with the dovetail arm that we just put on your bow, is completely reversible right to left handed.
I did not know that.
Yes.
You know what? So good job True Glow on that to make it reversible. Honestly.
Yeah.
Good on their part, because...
And their YouTube actually has the a video that shows how to reverse the updraft from right-handed to left-handed.
Man, that gave me more respect for True Glow right now. I did not know that.
Right now, man, I'm telling you, I really do like my Rival FX sight. It's far out enough. Granted, I mean, it's a big, big sight window on that damn sight.
Yeah.
Like, it's got 5 pins on it right now. I can almost bet money...
Mm-hmm.
That I got what? My first one's 10 and 20 yards because I'm throwing frozen ropes for arrows. Second pin is 30. I would say with the leftover amount of space, because I always put my first pin very, very high in the sight window.
Right.
I could actually put 7 pins in that thing and kill it all the way out to 80. No problem. And just make 10-yard pins the whole way fucking out and just fire bombs.
Yeah.
To 80 yards with this thing.
Man.
And it's really nice. And that's what I'm looking forward now. Maybe, you know, see how this, the micro bright works out on your bow, because it did move the sight window farther out. It is larger than the single pin.
That is true.
You know, you have your multiple thicknesses of sights. Even you said there, the pins are super thin. You know, even the 29's not bad for a close range shot.
They're really not bad for a 5-pin.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with yours. But if you say, nope, this ain't working for me.
I we're going to have to get the micro adjust on the single pin.
Yeah, we're going to have to get a Rover edition and see.
And see how that goes.
See if I can find a good price on a Rover for you, because you did do well. The only thing I really would like is it to be farther out from the riser of the bow. And that's where I think realistically, eventually, I'm going to probably, in your case,
mm-hmm.
have to invest at least in a Fast Eddie. XL edition with the dovetail bar.
Okay.
Because you can get much better adjustment.
Oh.
This way, because if we range find something and say it's 58.
Yeah.
And one of these Rovers or whatever from True Glow, everything on, even on their sight tapes, is marked like 10 yards.
Right.
It's marked the same on one of the reasons why spot hogs are so expensive, because they're baller as fuck, is that even though it is marked 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever, all the way to like 120, you could spin the dial.
Yeah.
It's marked per yard in between.
Doesn't Cameron Haynes use spot hog?
Cameron Haynes and Joe Rogan are both using the spot hog Hogfather, which is the one I want to buy.
Is that what he just bagged those two bulls with?
Yes. Yes.
That
yes.
is badass.
And his, like... he... See, we're going to do... I don't want to go into this, the shit this dude practices, because we're doing a whole episode on the YouTube people we want to follow.
If we go
so we're not going to go crazy like over Cam. And we mention Cam in like every damn episode so
and
far.
And I just want to throw this out here in case he happens to come across this episode he's listening. Like, everything we say about him is like positive. We follow along with him. We look at
he's
his
the
training.
Reason you want to go and kill a damn elk.
Yeah, he is.
She's like, I don't care if we shoot a deer. I want to shoot an elk. It's like, bro, you want to go from I just started shooting to I want to shoot something that's got a fucking tree growing out of its head.
Yeah.
Can we just start with a six-pointer first, please?
You know, I honestly, he is one of the guys that, you know, the hunters that I look at. And between his off-season training and he's always...
Is an off-season?
He doesn't have an off button. This guy, you got to look him up. You got to follow him. Cameron Haynes. All right.
We got to do a whole episode on YouTube people. Honey.
I got to put this in here. His whole thing is he trains hard to hunt easy.
Yes.
Because if you train your hard like 200%, I mean hardest conditions, push your body to like limits and then push those limits and then push those limits. And then whatever hunt you go on, it's like, oh, okay. Your mindset is different. Your mindset is somewhere else. Like, you remember, like, a harder time. And then you view whatever hunt you're on.
You know what the sad part is? There's one phrase that just sticks out into my head.
What?
About the whole thing. All of his training. You remember something after all that training. Because he says it flat out.
What?
I train to be the ultimate predator. Yeah. And I think the second you step in the woods, you walk in and knowing in your head, I am the damn predator.
Yeah, you know.
And not the dude with the fucking fucked up lobster face and the dreadlocks. You're like,
oh, you threw me off there for a second. I'm like, what are you talking
what?
About?
What the fuck did that beard do to your brain?
Jesus. No, but we're going to do, I really want to do an extra podcast of just reference and YouTube videos and points of places that you can go and look at everything we're talking about.
I gotta find out that one dude that Joe Rogan referenced.
Man, that he references so many people.
No. There was one in particular, and I can't remember it. And if anybody does know it and does listen to Joe,
leave a comment.
Yeah, please leave a comment. But there's one hunter that they reference, and he's done it twice, where the dude shot a deer. The deer took off running. And the guy made a good shot on it, apparently. But the dude took off running after the deer got close enough and was able to shoot the deer a second time and drop it.
Oh, I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name. And I just listened to it like, duh. Now I don't remember what episode it was, so I can't re-download it.
And he's got like 800,000
fucking podcasts out of that dude. He's the man, too, when it comes to podcasts.
Yeah, you know.
Let me tell you something.
And he's funny as hell.
We're getting too much into the shit that we need to talk about.
I know. I just can't help it. It's just...
All right. So basically, rundown of this is Steph's bow. We changed some stuff out.
We'll be going on for another hour.
Going. We go on the YouTube comments. We can go crazy here.
Wait. Before I forget. So if you're the couple that was in the range with us, and you know who you are, we're the couple that. It was basically you guys, it was us. I gave you my arm guard. That right there should cue it in. If you're listening, leave a comment of maybe somewhere like we can see if I'm really, really curious to see if your husband stayed right-handed
or
left-handed.
Yes.
Or if
we
he
both
continued.
Gave you our brutal, honest opinion on what he should do. And I really do still believe that he's been shooting a rifle for long enough he needed to try and shoot a lefty bow, even though the hand-eye trick thing showed he was right-eye dominant. Yeah.
But so leave a comment or something where we can see how he's doing, because it's just out of curiosity. I kind of want to see how he progressed. And honestly, the bow tech there, he knows his stuff, just overwhelmed. Just they're dumping too much stuff on him, and they want him to do it in like a quarter of the time that it properly should get done.
And actually, we have one of the highest...
He's top five in the country
for all of Gander. So
yeah.
For
so,
incoming and you know sales for their
archery department. So if you are listening, then just you know, leave us a little link to wherever we can see.
Yep, definitely. And it was definitely fun. You know, if we do see, hopefully, you know, so many people we do see at the range again. So, quick rundown of what we spoke about here, since we're actually over the hour we try to hold to here.
Who cares?
I know. I'm just saying.
Do you have somewhere to be?
No, I don't. Steph's bow right now, she liked a single sight, but...
Hard to adjust.
Hard to adjust, doesn't have the micro adjust. We're going to look into see if we can get the micro adjust Rover edition.
But first, I'm going to work on the True Glow 5-pin
right.
Micro-Bright.
Micro-Bright right now is on hers with a 29... pin, two 19 pins, and then two 10 pins. Granted, she'll probably just use the 29 and one of the 19s.
Because the range only goes to 30 yards right now.
Right, because we're stuck on an indoor
range. And we don't have, right now, a longer range to work on. So that's what we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yours, you have your drop away. We did your paper tuning today.
I still have my True Glow Rival FX.
Right.
Which I'm absolutely loving. The double micro adjust, the micro adjust for vertical height, micro adjust for horizontal adjustment,
mm-hmm. on Unless I steal freaking it from you.
Point, man. I don't care if you want to steal it from me. I'm going to take that dovetail one with that micro bright we just took on yours.
I know. I can't have all of them at the once.
It doesn't matter. Whichever we end up we feeling comfortable with, I can shoot on any of them. I just have to adjust it accordingly and go with the peep sight accordingly.
Right. And then backtracking to the boning... The stripper.
Yes. Awesome tool. If you're awesome going to tool, go wraps or even if you're going to decide to, you know, do single fletchings, if you break one and you're going to get the jig to refletch single fletchings each time, the boning strip, the stripper, as it's called in the store, it's like a $15 tool, 100% worth the money. Cleans the arrows, very minimal scarring, makes your life 1,000 times easier. Yeah. Definitely worth the buy.
And then just safety, guys, just when you're in the range.
Yes, please make sure your arrow's in the rest. Please make sure you're doing stuff properly. No matter what, everyone thinks bows are primitive. Bows kill.
You can still kill someone with it.
Yeah, even if you're not, it doesn't have to be intentional. Like I referenced, I had to run over and tap that girl's arrow to get it into the whisker biscuit. If she would have fired that arrow the way it was sitting, there was a chance that we were in the far left aisle. The couple that we were helping with the husband shooting for the first time was in the middle lane, and they were in the far right lane, the group where the arrow was not in the rest properly. Someone could have possibly got hurt. So please, still, no matter what, be safe.
Yeah, please be aware of what you're working with and just keep the respect of what you're working with.
Yes, actually, that's a good reference. Keep the respect of the item or what you're doing.
No matter if it's a gun,
we train the bow,
if it's a knife, any kind of tool that you're using to eventually probably hunt with, you're killing another animal with, it has It has the capacity. It has the killing capacity. You know, you need to have some form of respect for it. Whether a gun is a lot easier than a bow, obviously. Just have the respect for it. You know, I saw it being thrown on, like, put on the ground, not hung up or in its case. Just, you know, be aware of the shooters around you. You're not the only one there sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just go back to the basics of just common sense. Like, you know, you really don't want to go to the range and end up hurting someone else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know,
without a doubt,
for something stupid, for something stupid. So just if you keep the basic thought in mind of having the respect of the tool that you're working with, then, you know, everyone's gonna end up good in the long run.
Yes, that's absolutely. So. Anything else?
No, I think that's good. If I keep going on other points that I want to go on, we're gonna be here for another hour. So hopefully we're gonna get my plans, see if they happen. I want to get an extra episode in
tomorrow night. We can do it tomorrow.
So keep on the lookout for that. And it's gonna be basically reference points, YouTube, a lot of people we follow, all positive. A lot of people that we look at that give good, great pointers because they've been out there, they've been there, done that, like video tips.
Yes.
I mean, loads and loads of knowledge. So,
and some of them are going to be funny. I mean, because we do watch some shows that are archery-based, crossbow-based.
Oh.
If y'all have never watched Luke Bryan hunt an animal and then succeed in the kill...
Oh, funny.
Oh, my God. You have never seen a dude get so hyped up that he almost falls out the tree.
Okay. We got to keep that for another one.
Yes.
So, if you want to hear more about that...
And we don't even listen to country, and that shit's fucking great.
I know. Yeehaw. So, tune in to our next episode, and you'll hear more about that. But for now, this is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony.
And we are out.
See y'all in next episode. So, YouTube's coming.